Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. Purport. The atheist Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna just after his birth. He failed to do so, but later on he got information that Krishna was living in Vrindavan at the house of Nanda Maharaj. He therefore engaged many wizards who could perform wonderful acts and assume any form they liked. All of them appeared before the child lord in various forms, like Agha, Baka, Putana, Shakata, Trinavarta, Dhenuka, Gardaba, and they tried to kill the lord at every opportunity. But one after another, all of them were killed by the lord as if they were only playing with dolls. Children play with toy lions, elephants, boars, and many similar dolls, which are broken by the children in the course of their playing with them. Before the Almighty Lord, any powerful living being is just like a toy lion in the hands of a playing child. No one can excel God in any capacity, and therefore no one can be equal to or greater than Him, nor can anyone attain the stage of equality with God by any kind of endeavor. Jnana, yoga, and bhakti are three recognized processes of spiritual realization. The perfection of such processes can lead one to the desired goal of life in spiritual value, but that does not mean that one can attain a perfection equal to the Lord's by such endeavors. The Lord is the Lord at every stage. When He was playing just like a child on the lap of His mother Yashoda Mai, or just like a cowherd boy with his transcendental friends, He continued to remain God, without the slightest diminution of His six opulences. Thus He is always unrivaled. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om jnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakya chakshran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo mushnamadaya krishna krishnaya vatlajmantarana swamini. So this is part of a very wonderful meditation of Uddhavas. And a very long meditation. This goes on for practically a couple of chapters. And Uddhava is recollecting topics of Krishna, having been prompted by Arjuna, having been prompted by Vidura. And as soon as the thoughts came into his mind about Krishna, especially he was overwhelmed with the disappearance of Krishna, which is of course how this part of the conversation takes place, as an inquiry into what's happening with Krishna. And of course he couldn't really bring himself to answer that or to meditate upon that aspect of Krishna, his disappearance, because that is generally not something that devotees like to think about. You'll notice in the calendar there is no disappearance day of Krishna. There is an appearance day of Krishna, definitely, and we celebrate that with great joy, great happiness, but the disappearance day is not there. Yet it is there for our acharyas. So immediately just that little detail alone can convince us that there is a difference between Krishna and any living entity, however elevated or advanced they may be. And it's actually very useful to keep this in mind, because otherwise sometimes, and in many spiritual movements, often the tendency can come that a spiritually elevated person, the leader, the acharya, eventually starts to become equated with God. And this happened during Srila Prabhupada's time here also. There was a group of devotees who started to equate Srila Prabhupada with being God, even though he had so strongly spoken against it in all his lectures, teachings, books, writings, etc. But it is an inherent kind of next step speculation, if you like, amongst neophyte enthusiasts. Because we are taught that we should worship the representative of God in the same way that we worship God. And therefore there's nothing wrong with actually offering great worship, great respect, comfortable conditions, comfortable welcome, that kind of arrangement to a bona fide representative of the Lord. The problem comes if that kind of accelerates philosophically into the dimension whereby one directly equates that person with being God. Now sometimes we hear in the scriptures that A great person like Narad Muni is called a Bhagavan. That is mentioned. He's often referred to as Bhagavan Narada, one who includes, one who embodies all opulences. Well, factually speaking, from a point of tattva, only Krishna embodies all opulences. He is the Lord and Master of the Goddess of Fortune. He is the one who is the source of all opulences. From him everything emanates. Anything that there is desirable in this world comes from him. I am a spark of its... Anything desirable in this world, I am a spark of its splendor, as Krishna indicates in the Gita. Just a little mere spark of my splendor manifests the entire universe. And I'm underneath, hidden as a thread. And everyone is looking at the necklace, but they're missing the thread. Just like this garland, beautiful garland. And you can't see the thread if it's expertly made. You can't see it, but it's there. It's holding the whole thing together. And so Krishna is like that in this world. He's there, hidden behind the scenes, holding everything together. And he takes an understated position. So that means that sometimes people can make the mistake of really thinking he is understated. And not just understated, they think he is just normal. Or he is something inferior even. And that's a mistake. So therefore we need the advice and the words of the acharyas. Even though Narad Muni may be sometimes called Bhagavan Narada, his preaching is all about Krishna. He is always glorifying the Lord. That's every word that comes from his mouth. Ever since he was transformed into Narad Muni, and he received the Veena, the gift, from the Lord, that's how it's described in the Bhagavatam, he travels across the whole universe chanting the glories of the Lord, not his own glories. That is what he does. And so therefore we have this very important point to remember, that the Lord is unequaled under all circumstances. And we should always keep that in mind. Here this point is made very clearly, that sometimes there may be very powerful persons in this world. And some of the demons are mentioned here. Agasur, Bakasur, Putana, Shakata, Trinavarta, Dhenuka. These were all very powerful, as it's described in this verse, wizards. Because they had mystic potencies. Now, in this world, there are people with different potencies, not always mystical. Sometimes it's a mystery to us how they're given such potencies, because you think these are the least qualified people to wield such power. But that has always been the case. That has always been the case, that demoniac persons have power, and they're the ones least deserving of it. Well, the reassuring thing is that none of this happens in the spiritual world. These are all pastimes, entertainments, horrific entertainments actually. It's more like a ghost train rather than an enjoyable, pleasant ride at the funfair. I don't know if there are any pleasant rides left anymore. They all seem to be fairly passionate. I remember once we sat in this teacup ride. It was probably the most boring ride I've ever been on, but at least you could say it was mode of goodness to some degree. You just sat in these big teacups and went round and round. Now they probably have more exciting things. And yes, there's a ghost train at the end of it, designed to scare you. And that's the material world. You think you're going to have a pleasant experience, maybe a roller coaster where you can recover from it, and actually you end up with a fright by the end of it. And depending on how we handle this world, some people become more or less incapacitated as a result of the horrendous things that take place. Nevertheless, all these powerful persons that exist, and there are many of them, they possess different powers, different skills. Some may be very wealthy, and that's how they exert their power. They just use their money to achieve their goals in life, through illicit or licit means. Then there are others who may be very strong, physically strong, and then they subdue others as a result of their strength. Some may be very beautiful. They may use their beauty as a weapon. These are all the standard opulences of the Lord that we know about, the six opulences of the Lord, right? And each different people may exhibit one or more of these opulences, as a result of which they become powerful for some degree of time. then often they also forget that their power is limited and that at some time it will be taken away. In fact, Arjuna had this, because later on after this conversation takes place, when Arjuna has to explain to Yudhishthir what happened to Krishna, becomes a problem. How he has to explain that in the past I was able to subdue hordes of armies with my bow Gandiva, and now I can't even lift it. This is because the Supreme Lord has left and taken with him all his potency. So imagine for a very powerful person like that to be so impotent is a real shock. And this stage comes to everyone in this world. Unless they're directly protected by the Lord, this stage comes to everyone. During all that time when Arjuna was engaged in very powerful activities, Krishna was there directly supplying him strength and energy and directly protecting him. And then at the chosen time of the Lord, when it was time for that protection to end, Krishna simply withdrew it. And Arjuna was unable to do anything. And so all of these demons also come to that same experience. For the devotees like Arjuna, and as you hear in this case from the meditation of Uddhava, the contemplation of Vidura, these are the devotees. So when they're faced with that kind of situation, the way they process it is quite different to the demons. The demons basically are totally lost when they lose power. Someone who is used to exerting their power, their authority, using their strength, whatever assets have been given to them as a result of their karma, they can't actually function when those things no longer operate. They then hide, they disappear, you never see them again. The devotee, on the other hand, realizes that this is something that was given to me by Krishna. What a great Lord and Master I have, Lord Krishna, who decided to, at one point in my life, share some of his potency with me. He gave me some potency by which I was able to do wonderful things. Maybe I was able to do some wonderful preaching for the Lord. Maybe I was able to cook like an expert. Maybe I was able to look after people. Maybe I was able to give so much charity, as King Parikshit, King Yudhishthir, all the great saintly Raja Rishis would do. Maybe I was able to give great charity in the past, and now I cannot do any of it. How grateful I am to Krishna, who gave me that power, that potency, that ability for that period of time. That's how the devotee thinks. And so their meditation on Krishna grows and grows. It can only happen that way if they've cultivated a deep attachment to Krishna during their lives. If you don't have affection for Krishna, you won't turn to Krishna with gratitude when he takes something away. How do most people approach Krishna when something undesirable happens in their life? Well, either they're bewildered, maybe a little confused, maybe they don't want to see Krishna for a little while, because they think, Krishna, why have you done this to me? What's going on? Why aren't I supposed to be a devotee? Aren't you meant to look after me in all respects, which means everything, health, wealth, family, wife, children, money? I thought you were supposed to make this all perfect. And Krishna's thinking, hang on, I never told you that. But people have kind of developed that as part of their affection with Krishna, because obviously Krishna is Lord and Master of the Goddess of Fortune, and he protects his devotees, and he supplies everything also, isn't it? Any opulence we have is a result of Krishna. So we think, somehow Krishna has become obliged now to give me what I want. Actually, Krishna tells devotees very clearly the opposite. He actually tells them, whatever there is in this material world is temporary. It is simply my external energy. And it is guaranteed to be taken away from you. It is guaranteed. So often this comes as a shock to persons practicing a spiritual path who are now seeing God as the source of their material happiness. Most people, when they turn to God, often may have this as a driving motivation. Right, what are the four ways that people turn to the Lord? Chaturvidha bhajante mam. distress. Who knows the verse? Jana Sukritino Arjuna? Artha Jignasu? Artha Arthi? Jnani? Right. Jnani. Those are the four. So one who's in distress, one who wants wealth, right? One who wants knowledge, and one who wants realization of the absolute truth. So those are four people, and of those, Srila Prabhupada says, the one who wants wealth or the one who wants relief from distress, this is the largest proportion. Many people turn to Krishna in their time of distress. Those are the fortunate ones, because there are many people who don't turn to Krishna in the time of their distress. They simply become more and more inimical to him. But in many persons' lives, if they have a decent kind of nature inside, it's when times are bad that they may turn to Krishna. More likely than if times are good. And so Krishna accepts a person's approach, but at the same time he doesn't leave it at that. Many people propagate their movement, their following, their whatever it is, whatever they want to call it, their new spiritual path. Even within our tradition, there may be persons who pose themselves and promise their followers that, yes, you will be healthy, wealthy and wise if you surrender to me. Unfortunately, Krishna never promised that. He promised the opposite. He promised that as long as you stay in this material world, you will suffer from unlimited distresses. Janma mritya jara vyadi dukkha dosha nidarshanam. These are going to be your constant companions in this world. Don't waste your time trying to achieve success in preventing yourselves coming under the control of any of these. It's simply not possible. This is my external energy. This material world is like that. Abrahma bhuvanalloka punaravartino arjuna. Right from the topmost planet of Lord Brahma down to the lowest, all are places of distress wherein repeated birth and death take place. They are places of misery. This is what Krishna promises us. But he also does promise us that if you meditate on me, if you focus on me, if you think of me, if you contemplate my glories, then you will come to me. And when you come to me, you will be 100% free from any of the distresses that you are trying to escape from in this world. So this is actually the difference between a bona fide presentation and a cheating presentation. Cheating presentations are rife in this world. Approach the Lord. Do something for him. He will make you happy, healthy, wealthy and wise. Now he may well do that. And he often does do that. That we should also add in. It's not that he doesn't. It's not that when someone approaches the Lord, that they become miserable from that point onwards. Absolutely not. You look around at the devotees, are they all miserable? Well, one or two maybe, but I won't name them. But not everyone by and large is miserable. Most people are quite happy because they're experiencing some satisfaction in Krishna consciousness, some happiness in connection with Krishna. Klesha Agni is one of the original or the initial effects that takes place, the reduction of the kleshas, the fire of material onslaught that is reduced by Krishna. Tangibly, in most devotees' lives, when they first surrender to Krishna. Because actually, as soon as they start practicing something to do with Krishna, they're immediately detached from extensive involvement in the material world. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki. And so they do immediately experience a great relief from distress. But Krishna does say that this is not permanent. And then when one's punya has run out, one falls again into this material world. Right? From the topmost planets, you can get to there. And when the punya has run out, you're back here again in this place. So don't think of this as any more than a day trip or a holiday. When you go on a holiday to some nice exotic location, you shouldn't be naive enough to think that, okay, I'll wrap everything up, I'll sell the house, distribute everything I've got, leave the car so someone can drive it off, and I'm going on holiday, permanent holiday. No, because as soon as the visa runs out, as soon as your hotel stay is over, you're back here. And then what are you going to do? Be a bit naive. So therefore we shouldn't think that when we're in a period of material enjoyment, that it's permanent. Yes, there is enjoyment, for sure. Every single person can get sukha and dukkha according to what they deserve in this life, and they will get it. Sukham indriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yatha dukkham yatnatah. Just as distress comes automatically, Prahlad Maharaj says, without any endeavor, similarly happiness also comes. And that part people forget. Because they're busy working hard all day, every day, endeavoring for happiness. But actually that also comes automatically with no endeavor. We all know that distress comes without any endeavor, right? Every day we know this. Something happens and we didn't ask for it. Actually happiness also comes. Someone will come to us, cheer us up. Doesn't that happen to everyone sometimes? You're feeling miserable for whatever reason, someone comes and cheers you up. Happiness also comes. You hear something, you see something, you meet someone. Happiness also comes. And happiness isn't directly tied into the facilities and situations of this world. A dog is happy on the street, jumping up and down, barking away. The human being thinks, oh, I'm miserable, I've got to go home, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and then I can relax and be peaceful. Dog is just happy chasing its tail or whatever it is. And who can say that the relative happiness of the human being is higher than that of the dog in that instant of time? And then when the dog fights, it's also pretty miserable. It's not that the dog's life is desirable. Once there was this man in Srila Prabhupada's audience, and he said, I want to be a dog, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, you have my blessing. Because this person had no interest in spiritual life. And he was thinking, a dog's life is not so bad. But the reality is, the dog's life does not give you any chance to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, to practice any level of worship, to even see and comprehend the form of the Lord, to have Mahaprasadam. You can't really do that in the body of a dog. You may get some Mahaprasadam, fine. That's due to the mercy of others. You can't actively, personally engage in anything that will take you tangibly closer to Krishna. And so we should not make this mistake that happiness in this world is permanent and everlasting. Everything goes in cycles. The devotees know that happiness for me may be happening now. Inevitably there's going to be a downside to it. Cycles are present in all aspects of nature. Every person in their own life goes through different cycles, ups and downs. It can be financially, it can be intellectually, it can be the body. There are times when the body is roaring away, senses are strong, youth is in progress. People think nothing can go wrong. I can climb a mountain, I can run, I can perform austerities like no one else, no problem. Well, just wait 20 years. You notice a few little creaks and a few little twinges, and then maybe certain senses don't work so well. Maybe you start to forget a few things. And then it can deteriorate, and it can deteriorate quite rapidly even. And then you'll be dealing with a whole different scenario, a new reality of life without the body being an asset to me, being more of a liability. Where just to lift it and drag it across to do basic necessities of the body becomes a major endeavor. That's just one demonstration that most people can see before them or will experience also. It's one of the downsides of life. Then cycles will be there in other aspects of life, maybe in terms of wealth. At some point you may be wealthy, then you may not be. Then you may be again, then you may not be. The question is, through all these different cycles, and those cycles can be in terms of relationships, wealth, beauty, the body, influence, whatever those cycles are, maybe even devotional enthusiasm, how dedicated will you stay loyally to Krishna? How will you do that? If every time your cycle goes downwards, are you away from Krishna? Do you only serve Krishna when you're on a high or when you're making progress in a steady uptrend? Is that the only time you serve Krishna? Or will you be loyal to Him and realize He's the Lord and Master and completely transcendental to any operations in this world? Because then you say to Krishna, Krishna, I'm yours through thick and thin. Through anything good and through anything bad also. Just as all the devotees in this Krishna Leela that Uddhava is describing so nicely stayed loyal to Krishna even when there was a forest fire, even when All the mothers lost all their sons, right? When Brahma had stolen them, they still remained true to Krishna. When the calves disappeared, when there was an imminent danger about to behold, when their living areas were being burnt, Nanda Maharaj was captured, they didn't lose their attraction or faith in Krishna. They still kept calling to Krishna. Whatever the circumstances, they would call to him. And Krishna hears that call. And that is simply another way we demonstrate in another phase of our cycle of life that Krishna, I really want you. Because the enthusiasm of someone for whom everything is going well is okay, it's nice, it's often a good start in someone's spiritual life. But we know it's clearly not the indicator of actual advancement. Because when things go well in life, often there is a decrease in attachment to Krishna. And in our lives, certainly I've seen, and we may make those decisions ourselves, sometimes we may choose an option or a path or a course of action which leads to some kind of growth for us, maybe materially. But it actually has the opposite effect spiritually. So we have to just be careful that we don't miss what is of real value here. The material cycles are always going to come and go. As Prabhupada says, building sandcastles on the beach. Yes, you build an elaborate construction, the waves come, the tide comes, it's all gone. However elaborate it was, however many flags you put on the top, how many soldiers you put policing the ramparts, it's all gone, just dissolved again into sand. And that's the life cycle of anything in this world. It will end up like that. And then there'll be an upswing again at some point. Now, is this all we expect from life? The ups and downs. We smile when it's up and cry when it's down. Is that it? Is this how we want to sum up our lives? Because if that's it, it's pretty mundane. Every living entity is doing it. Where is our aspiration to do something different? That is the distinguishing factor between an average person and someone who is trying to do something extraordinary, or even someone on a basic animal platform and someone on a human platform. The aspiration for an existence that's different to what is possible here in this material world. That is a real test and a real challenge for everyone. But Krishna makes that challenge palatable. And we see through this example of Uddhava what a deep remembrance and meditation he had developed on Lord Sri Krishna. Manmana bhava mat bhakto madhya ji mam namaskuru. Always remember me, always think about me. Right? That's what we are advised to do by Krishna. Always remember me, always think about me. Engage in my devotional service. Uddhava has been doing this. He has a lifetime of cultivating Krishna consciousness right from a very young age when he didn't even want to play with toys. He was rendering service to Krishna, worshipping Krishna. That is his success. And that is what we are actually getting a very nice insight into. Each of his verses are very succinct. He includes the entire Leela in one verse. Just in this one verse he's spoken about all the different demons, the wizards that were endowed with mystical potencies that came to cause harm to the Lord. And this is because of remembrance of the Lord. So when one's focus becomes the Lord, they meditate on the Lord, all his pastimes. And that way they are fully Krishna conscious. Jivan mukta sa uchyate. Even in this life, one can be fully liberated in that focus on Krishna. So let's pray to Uddhava that we can actually achieve such a state. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Prajan Prabhu?
What do you say about seeing the bright side of life, even through times of trouble, distress, old age, whatever it is? Mm. It reminds me of something Kathleen Kubler-Ross, who dealt with death and dying, imminent death of with patients in certain circumstances. And there was one where these people, they came to see her and asked her advice. And, you know, they were looking after their elderly mother. And she could hardly talk. They had to interpret what she was saying. Mm. And when Catherine Kubler-Ross asked her a question, isn't it, can't you see that somehow or other, after your life of service to your children, that they want to serve you as you depart? And if you take that away, you take away the gift of giving back to you. And I thought that was an extremely poignant point. Like Prabhupada had to let his servants serve him after all the time with him. And thereby, them serving him, they became purified. They became, sacrificing. Mm. And Prabhupada had to accept a position, you could say, of almost humility, but actually it was greatness how he let them serve him in so many ways and try and help him no matter what he came across. So in a way the spiritual master became they're being served. He's given them the gift of service in his own predicament. He had to realize his own helplessness and that he was now dependent on them. And he wanted to finish Srimad Bhagavatam no matter what in those last days. That's what this reminds me of.
Mm, thank you. Yes. When service is rendered to a great devotee, everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. And so, by Srila Prabhupada's own behavior and his actions, we saw what his bhajan was. We saw where his focus was. Entire 100% connection with Krishna. Nothing more to do with the petty details of this world. Most of our lives, we are involved with petty, insignificant details. And we're totally attached to them. We've gone through an entire life being very fixed on them, almost with an OCD type of tendency, which only leads to a very destructive result for a person who's in that situation. Now we have to really just focus on Krishna, his holy name, and accept with reality that outside of his meditation, there isn't much else for us to do. And so Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all of our great acharyas, when they demonstrate how they end their life, they progressively move into deeper and deeper inner bhajan. And in that state of bhajan, naturally others serve them. And what do they learn through that service? They pick up and they learn a great attraction to the holy name of the Lord. And so that's a lesson for all of us, you know, as we become older. If we haven't developed a deep attraction to the holy name now, we're not suddenly going to start it when we're older. All that will happen is, when we're older, all the petty things that we've been attached to throughout our lives, little insignificant things here and there, they will simply be things that we now obsess over, when they have no consequence. And so it's a reality check for every single person. What is in your life that's superfluous, that dictates so many avenues of your practice? Really try and refocus that to Krishna. Because then inevitably you may end up taking service from someone. And actually for a devotee, that's kind of distasteful. Because a devotee of the Lord doesn't really like to take service from someone. But it's Krishna's plan that a person who doesn't like to take service will be rendered service. And if that person remains in proper consciousness, then others may be benefited when they offer that service. But that person has to be in the right consciousness. That person has to be of a caliber of Srila Prabhupada's meditation. At least that's what we should be hoping to aspire for. So thank you very much. It's definitely a very sobering aspect to keep in mind. Any other questions? Yes, Roji? Dev Rishi?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. It's interesting when you mention how people have highs and lows.
No, they have
highs and lows, you know.
Highs and lows.
And
yes.
when they don't get what they want, they become amical to the Lord. But it's interesting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the example in his own Shishashkam. In the last verse, Mahaprabhu is saying, you know, even if you embrace me or you handle me roughly, you're still my worshipful Lord. Whether you provide me or you don't, it's just such affection is that with the Lord.
Yes.
So it's just beautiful how he's even showing his own example. He's the Lord, but he's showing the example as a devotee as well. That's just amazing, I find.
No, it is. It is. And it's not so easy to do that, is it? It's actually quite difficult. When you're in a situation which you can't handle, some people in life become expert at handling the different waves of nature. They can handle when troubled times come. They know how to deal with it. They can handle it. In that way, they haven't really dealt with it. When things happen to you which are outside of your control, that's when the test comes. Can you deal with it? When something happens to your health, which all the best doctors in the world can't do anything about, what will you do? When some horrific legal problem turns up that you just is beyond you, what will you do? When something else happens that again is outside of your control, maybe a relationship issue or something or other, what will you do? That's the real test. What thoughts go through your mind at that time? And so actually, if we are going to help to cultivate and nurture a community of devotees, we need to be aware of others who may be going through that. So it's extremely important. Because while someone is new, relatively neophyte, or even an experienced person when they first experience a very troublesome situation, they can also be knocked back a little bit. They can be quite bewildered. And they actually need some care and some assistance, some nice words to help them through that situation. Ultimately, the practical things we may be able to do may be limited. They may be actually limited. You can't just solve someone's financial problem, you can't just fix someone's health, but you may be able to give them the spiritual direction by which they see that Krishna consciousness is a very tangible reality that they should never let go of. That is a great service that we can do to someone, to help them. But yes, it's a tall order to come to that stage of whether you embrace me, whether you trample upon me, I'm still your servant. It's not a popular philosophy in today's world. We need to really understand who is the person that this applies to Krishna and his authorized followers. Yes, any other questions? Yes, Matiji?
I'm just thinking about focusing on Krishna and putting him in the center of your life, and wondered about the demons who actually are in the process of planning to kill him because they're totally focused on him. So is that a route to liberation as well as if they were killed?
It's a route to their liberation. It's not a route to anyone who tries to copy them. Because Krishna doesn't have to give them that. He decided to give these particular individuals liberation. That was his choice, his mercy on them. And in some cases, the demons were directly empowered by him. As you know, many demons, Jai Vijay, that whole sequence, and then others, other entities that Krishna requested to play supporting roles. In fact, he asked the demigods to come and play supporting roles for his Leela. So Krishna chooses to give them liberation. But if anyone thinks, I'm now going to become a Putana Bhakta or Agasur, right, that's my Ishtadev. I'm going to follow him now. I'm going to learn the tricks of how to harass Krishna and I will get liberation. Not a chance. Krishna does not even have to appear in person before such a person. He can simply just cause them to drop dead just with a thought, with no connection with Krishna. Don't forget, Krishna's in the heart of every living entity, and if Krishna wants, he can just give them a heart attack. Nothing else required. He doesn't have to engage in a big fight. You know, here it says, very interestingly, that a powerful living being is like a toy lion in the hands of a playing child. Well, the Lord does play with many demons before he kills them. Right? Many. Can you think of some who he plays with? Yes. Denukasur? Swung him round and round? Hiranyakashipu? Yes. Hiranyaksha also? His brother? He had a good fight with him before he finally had enough and then just one chop, that's it. That's all that was required. Keshi demon? Yes. All these demons, these are the stories we relish reading. How these persons wanted to cause such destruction and havoc to Krishna, and how swiftly and easily Krishna dispatched them after playing with them for a little while. That's always relishable for the devotees, and others can't really understand why the devotees enjoy these pastimes so much. They think there's something wrong with you, but they have no clue. Everyone is happy to see Hiranyakashipu dead after he had tormented Prahlad Maharaj so much. Aren't we all happy? When there's a tyrant who commits horrific acts in the world, don't we celebrate at their demise? A sane person does. They don't say, oh, what a great loss to the world. This person should have been protected by the Lord. No, a person says, here is a person who commits heinous crimes. Better they're gone. That's that's the way it works. But so, yes, inimical service is definitely not the way forward. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavrita manukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttama. Favorable devotional service is what will bring us closer to Krishna. Anyone else? Any comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharat Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.